Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, beginning to read at verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And our New Testament reading is the story of Easter as found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them,
"Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. There is the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Thanks be to God for this reading from his word.
We join in prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Put your hand up if you read a newspaper backwards. I thought everybody would do that, at least look at the back pages before you finish. I was quite encouraged when Bruce asked for donations of unfinished books for the Christian Aid stall. I've got dozens of them, books that I've started on but which remain largely unfinished. But in every single case, I think pretty much, I have read the end. Endings matter, don't they? The way something ends, a piece of music, a film, a sermon. It makes all the difference. You might think of Rhett Butler speaking to Scarlett O'Hara at the end of Gone with the Wind. "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." Or Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid sharing a final moment of humour before running out of their hideout, all guns blazing into a hail of bullets and being mown down as the final credits roll. Or Thelma and Louise, anybody seen that film? With Thelma and Louise holding hands as their car dives off the edge of a cliff as they started to try and escape the following police. Well, who can be failed to be moved by the final chords of the 1812 overture or a Beethoven sonata? But the best endings don't close things down, they open things up. They leave you wanting more, wondering what's going to happen next. One of my favourite of all endings is that one in The Italian Job with Michael Caine. Looking back at his buddies as the pallet of gold in the back of the coach slides slowly and the whole thing teeters on the edge of an alpine pass, and he turns to his friends and says, "I've got a great idea." Easter Day. Though we know today isn't really the end, it is the end of the beginning, in Churchill's words after the Battle of Britain. Still, we do need today some kind of an ending. We have followed through Lent, we have watched and prayed and reflected, and at the Last Supper we've wondered, is it I, Lord, who will betray you? And we have stood by the cross on Good Friday watching as hope drains away, and we need Easter Day to be a kind of an ending. We tried hard not to let it overtake our thoughts during Holy Week, but we know that the Christian story means nothing if there isn't the sense of an ending today. Our lives need this as well. This promise, this hope. Or we are of all to be the most pitied if today we do not find an end. Happy ever after? Well, no, not really. The world is too much with us. We know too much of its trials and its joys. And we know that things aren't ever quite as simple as that. We don't want a fairy tale, a fairy story ending. We're not children. We know the princess has to get up the next day and watch the prince's socks. But we do want the sense of an ending. We want, in our tired old world, to look again and to know the promise and hope that death, that ending that we faced all through Holy Week and on Good Friday, is not the end. Today brings another end. Today we hear afresh the good news: Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Today we're reminded that death is not the end. We are in Mark's gospel, though, which is perhaps the rawest telling of the story of Jesus. Matthew's ending is a crescendo. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. In Luke's gospel, the story ends with a warm glimpse of the future, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. John's gospel tantalizes at the very end. If everything that Jesus did had been written down, the world itself could not contain the books that would have been written. Mark? Mark ends, as we heard, at the end of verse 8. They went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. A couple of centuries later, a couple of alternative endings to Mark's gospel turned up, and they are there in your Bibles to be seen. A shorter ending and a longer ending. And with those, all the gospels come to pretty much the same conclusion. Well, there is no time this morning to go into all the whys and wherefores of these different endings to the gospel, but I think there is something quite powerful about the ending that we heard, for they were afraid. What kind of gospel is that? What kind of ending? The gospel means good news. Why did Mark bother telling the story of Jesus at all if he was going to end it like this? Well, some people have said perhaps the final page got lost, or maybe he was struck suddenly very ill and wasn't able quite to finish it off. It even ends a little bit worse in the Greek original. Instead of saying, "for they were afraid," it ends, "for they were afraid, you see." And everybody's been thinking, well, there must have been something else that he intended to say. It's not the sense of an ending, is it? It's not very inspiring. Hardly resurrection joy. Hardly a shout of victory against all the pain of the world, unless, well, the scholars still speculate, so this can't be called the final word. But all along, Mark, as he has told the story of Jesus, has emphasized the strangeness, the mystery, the awesomeness of all that Jesus was and all that he did, and all that he represented. It is so easy these days for Jesus to be domesticated. Everybody in the world wants a piece of him. That he'll come along and bless their program or their preferred way of doing things or solve their problem. We've had Jesus the rebel, Jesus the hippie, Jesus, the gentle friend of children. And maybe he's all those things, but Jesus in Mark, well, Mark tells the story of a Jesus who is beyond our capacity to understand, to accept, or to cope with. He disturbs dreams. He overturns expectations. So what if Mark wanted to show how strange and terrifying and glorious and awe-inspiring and frightening it was to discover on Easter Day that Jesus is risen? He had told the story as they had followed it, as Jesus had died in agony, how the blood had flowed, mingled down as he had hung on the cross. He had given the very clear picture of how the disciples' hopes and dreams were shattered. And all that is Good Friday, of course. It is perhaps easy for us to make Easter a bit too easy. To treat it after a nice surprise, after a few quiet days. A hot cross bun on Friday, then the rising sun on Easter Day, as has happened, and a good sing-along, and then the icing on the cake, Jesus is risen, to make us all feel a bit better. But Mark tells it like it is, or rather like it was. A hard death, some sad people, an empty tomb, a messenger, and terror and amazement. Oh, I know you didn't come here today to be terrified, or even amazed, probably. You came here to be uplifted, or reassured, or encouraged. But if it is real life that you are living, if tomorrow will bring to you its usual mix of trials and joys, if you will go on having to work out your faith with fear and trembling, then you do not need a fairy story ending today, a happy ever after story today. You need to hear that Jesus came, that he lived, he suffered and dies, and he rose again. How would you feel if you saw such a thing? Who would you tell? How would you live? Jesus came like the wind. He lived in the spirit. He died in agony and he rose and lives forevermore. Mystery, joy, possibility. It is awful in the old proper sense of that word. A-W-E, awful that death is defeated. It is awful that the world has been overcome. It is awful that peace and justice reign, and that your life and mine will never be the same because of today. And it is terrible. No one knows what it might mean. We have not been closed down, but opened up by what has happened on Easter Day. It is scary. The Church of Jesus Christ holds today a precious jewel and is called to share it with the world, in the hope that all may find in the risen Jesus eternal life and forgiveness and rest, and bread and wine in a few minutes will do for us to show it. But I'm going to ask you to do something else today. I'm going to ask you to allow yourself to be afraid with the fear of the living God, filled with joy and amazement, but also holy fear at what God's love has done and will do for us and for the world. And as in a few minutes we take bread and wine, and as we prepare to go forward into another year of service, as they say, be afraid, be very afraid. Praise God and don't fear anything else, for nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. But his love is holy and awesome. And on this day, it is more powerful than death itself. Be afraid.